So Rabbosai, we're here in Perikira on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, and we're up to Tashma. And Tashma is approximately, I would say, 15 lines down from the top of the Amud. And what we were able to do until now, we had a proof that the Mishnah follows Chananya, and the Gemara rejected that proof. So we don't have a raya that the Mishnah reflects the Shita Chananya, that in a case of a Garif HaKotum, you're allowed to leave. I'm sorry, even in a case of an Eino Garif Eino Kotum, you're allowed to leave your fire, your Tavshil on the open fire on Erev Shabbos. That far we're not going to go. We don't have a proof that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Chananya. But on the other hand, we don't know for sure that our Mishnah is not Chananya. So this Toshma is going to try to prove that our Mishnah does not reflect the Shita of Chananya. Toshma. Here we have another Braisa. Shtei Kiros Hamat'imos. We have twin Kiros, right? The two little stoves that share one common wall. Achas Grufa Ketuma V'achas She'ena Grufa V'ena Ketuma is Mashim Al Gabi Grufa U'Ketuma V'ein Mashim Al Eina Grufa V'ena Ketuma. Right, we had a Braisa earlier yesterday that also touched on this problem, and where are you allowed to leave, in which of these two ovens, these twin ovens, are you allowed to leave your pot of food entering into Shabbos? And the answer is that don't think that because the next door oven that shares a wall has the status of a Grufa Ketuma, which means you've shoveled out the coals or you've put the ashes on top of the fire, on top of the coals, that's going to have an impact on the second Kira, which is the Eina Grufa Eina Ketuma. But rather, no. We're going to separate between the two kiros. We're going to only allow shahia on the grufa ketuma, and not on the ena grufa ketuma. Umayin mashin, and what are you allowed to leave on the grufa uketuma? Beit Shammai omrim v'lo klum. Beit Shammai never accepted the heter of garif hakotum, so you're not allowed to leave any cooked food on a grufa uktu on Erev Shabbos. Beisil omrim chamin avalot tavshil, which means that we're going to allow you to leave hot water on the kira that was a garufa katum, but not solid food, which is really interesting because this is not the formulation of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai that we have in our Mishnah. On the contrary, in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai was Mekil in Chamin, and Beis Hillel was Mekil even in Tavshil. But now we're saying that Beit Shammai never accepted even the Kula of a Garif HaKotum vis-a-vis Chamin, and Beis Hillel accepted the Kula of Garif HaKotum vis-a-vis Chamin, but not vis-a-vis Tavshil. Okar, if he removes the pot from the fire, well, in this case, from the kira, I should say, not the fire, is divrei hakol lo yachzir. Even Beis Hillel will agree, according to this formulation, that you're not allowed to put the pot back on Shabbos into this kira. Again, even though it's a garif hakotum. So that's divrei Rav Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's formulation of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beit Shammai Omerim Chamin Avalot Tavshil. That's reflective of what we saw in our Mishnah. The Beit Shammai accepts the heter of putting hot water inside this oven on Erev Shabbos, if it's a Goruf and a Kotel. Beis Hillel Omerim Chamin V'Tavshil. Beis Hillel take it a step further. Not only can you put hot water inside this oven, but you can even put cooked food inside the oven. Beit Shammai omrim notlin avalo machzirin. Beit Shammai say that if you have this hot water inside the kira, you're allowed to take it off the out of the kira on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to put it back and replace it. Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. Since it's a gara for Khatum, you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos itself. So the Gemara says, "I amrit bishlema lashhos tnan." If we're going to say that our Mishnah is telling you that you're not allowed to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos unless you make it into a gara for Khatum, which reflects the sheet of the Chachamim of Hananya, is there Masnisen? When we take this Brisa with the two formulations of the Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, that of Rav Meir and that of Rav Yehuda, Masnisen Mani, Rav Yehudi, our Mishnah will reflect the approach of Rav Yehuda, which means that although it's a Garfa Katum, Beit Shammai will only allow you to leave hot water on a Garfa Katum, and Beis Hillel will go a step further, and they will allow you to put cooked food on a Garfa Katum, and Beis Hillel will allow you, if you take it off the out of the Kira of Garfa Katum, to put it back in. Ella Iyamit, but if we go back to the first Sad in our Suffolk on the previous Amud, Lahachzir Tnan, which means that the Mishnah only prohibited putting food into the Kira on Shabbos. But as far as leaving food in the Kira on Erev Shabbos, that was okay. And that reflects the Sheet of Hananya, which means that you're allowed to leave food on a fire on Erev Shabbos, even though the Kira is not a Gorof and not a Kotum, is Maslisa Mani. We can't work out our Mishnah according to either Sheet. Lo Rabbi Yudav, Lo Rabbi Meir. E Rabbi Meir, if you're going to tell me our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, that doesn't make any sense at all. Kashal of Eit Shabbat Bechadu Beisil Betarte. We have a contradiction between our Mishnah and Beit Shammai in one case, in one din, and a double contradiction in Beis Hillel. Why? Because number one, you're going to contradict Beis Shammai in terms of the question of whether you're allowed to put food back on the fire, where according to Hananya, you're allowed to put food back on the fire in this case. And Beit Shammai say, well, no way, no how, according to Rav Meir's version, you can't put food back on the fire, period, in all cases. So that's one stira. And if you go to Beis Hillel, then you're going to go with a double stira. Number one, according to Rabbi Meir, Beis Hillel is not going to allow you to leave food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. That's number one. And number two, according to Rabbi Meir, in his version, is Beis Hillel is going to agree that lo yachzir, that if you take it out of the kira, you're not allowed to put it back on. That's against our version, which is called lashos tanan. E Rav Yehuda, kasha grufa uktuma. And if you're going to try to compare Rav Yehuda's version of the machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai with our Mishnah, if you hold lahashos tanan, then you're left with a contradiction with regard to Gufa and Ketuma. Why? Because according to Rav Yehuda's version of the Machlokes, you must have a Gufa and a Ketuma. Whereas according to Hananya, if you hold like Lahashos Tanan, then a Gufa Ketuma is okay. So let me just read to you what he says over here. He says that if the Mishnah is talking about a grufa ketuma, and Hananya will allow you to replace the food onto the kira that you took off on Shabbos, you could replace it on Shabbos, is that's against the Brisa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Brisa, because although according to Rabbi Yehuda, Grufa and Ketuma will allow you to leave the food in the fire on Erev Shabbos, but not to replace it on Shabbos. So Gemara says, no, there's no proof. Why? Liolam emel chola hachzer tanan. I can still assume that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Chananya, which means that you're not allowed to put it back on the fire unless it's a Grufa Ketuma, but you're allowed to leave it on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, even if it's not a Grufa Ketuma. V'tana didan sovralok Rabbi Yehuda b'chada upolegale b'chada. Now a Mishnah accepts Rabbi Yehuda and disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Sava lo ki Rabbi Yehuda bechada bechamin uvitavshil vinotlin umachzirin. So that we're going to accept Rabbi Yehuda with regard to these issues of number one, chamin, number two, tavshil, meaning we're going to permit not only Chamin but also Tavshil. That's true in both our Mishnah's version of Beis Hillel and in Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel, and also with regard to Notlin Umachzirin, where Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa agrees that under certain circumstances you'd be allowed to return something to the Kira on Shabbos. Upolagale Bechada. The Ilutana Didan Sovralishos Alpha Pichena Gorfa Kotam, our Tana goes all the way with Chananya and allows you to keep food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. Again, we're talking about cooked food. It reached already Michael Ben Josai. Rav Yehuda Savar Bilahashos Nami, even with regard to Erev Shabbos, in order to allow you to leave food on a fire on Erev Shabbos, Gorfa Kotam in Lolo. You must have Gorfa Kotam. So basically, what the Gemara is trying to point out is that you could theoretically reconcile our Mishnah of Chananya, which we're talking about Lahashos Tanan, I'm sorry, Lahachzir Tanan, with Rabbi Yehuda, but only in a limited way, only with regard to equating Tavshil with Chamin, and Notlin with Machzirin, or I should say the other way, Machzirin with Notlin. There will be an afkamina between Rabbi Yehuda's version of our Mishnah and the Lo Yachzir version of our Mishnah in terms of leaving food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos in an Eino Goruf, the Eino Katu. Our Mishnah, if you hold Lahachzir Tanan, will permit it like Chananya, and Rabbi Yehuda will prohibit it because you always require a Gorfa Kotum. Now the Gemara turns to a different section. Iboilu the Gemara Safek Ma'u Lismoch Ba. Are you allowed to take a pot of food and place it smack up against the wall, the outside wall of the Kira? Now let's explain. The reason why we don't want to allow food inside an oven is because the food is on top of coals and he might come to poke the coals. But if on the other hand he's heating up his food on the outside of the oven by placing it smack up against the hot outside of the oven, the wall of the oven on the outside, then there's no possibility of his coming to chitur, because there are no coals. He's on the outside of the oven. And here's where the Gemara analyzes the suffix. Tocha v'gaba asur. If you place it inside the Kira, and even if you place it on top of the Kira, there's still direct heat that's coming from the coals up and all the way up, hitting the bottom part of your kedera, of your pot. The heat is rising up from the gecholim, from the coals. Avalismof ba shapir tov. But if you're going to smack it up on the outside of the oven, then there's no chashash of chitu. Odil maloshna. Or shall we apply some sort of call it a low plug halacha? And we're going to say that as long as you're heating up your pot of food through this oven, then it's all included in this Isur, in this Gzeira of Shem Yechat, even though physically it's not possible to come to Chitui in this case. But nevertheless, I'll tell you what it is. Maybe what the Gemara means is not necessarily lo plug, but that the walls of the Kira are cooling down. And in order to make sure that you maintain the heat of the Kira, you might come to do Chitui B'Gecholet. Again, it seems like a little bit far-fetched. You know, the food is not inside the oven, it's not even on top of the oven, it's on the outside exterior wall of the oven, but nevertheless, you might come to do, you might come to Chitui. Toshma. So the Gemara says, the Omer of Safra, Omer of Chia, Ktoma Vinislavsa. So we have a case of Akira. I skipped something. Oh, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dilma, Shani Hossa. I'm sorry. Toshma. Sorry. I was looking on the wrong side of the page. Toshma. Shtei kiros. We had this price before. Shtei kiros. Amat imos. Achas grufa ktuma. Achas shena grufa ktuma. Shenal gabi grufa ktuma. Oh, so you're allowed to do it there. Afal gav. The kosolik lehavla mi'idach. Beautiful. When you have these two kiros that share a common wall, then what happens is that you're doing smicha. Why are you doing smicha? Because any food that's in that section of the oven that's garfakatum is getting heat from the wall of the kira that's an eno garf, the eno katum. And it's obvious, therefore, that smicha is mutter. Yeah. So the Gemara rejects it and says, Dilma Shani Hossam came into Medalia Sholet Be'avira. The pot is on top of the coals. Or, in the case of a Garuf Akatum, well, that would be true in the case of a Katum, but let's say in the case of a Garuf, it's not exactly on top of the coals, but it is located where the coals were before. So there's air between the kedera and the wall of the kira, and that's we'll call it ventilation. Now, I would have gone a step further. I would have said that it's very far-fetched for him to do chitui in the eno garuf yeno katum in order to generate heat in the garuf katum. I don't know. So for that, you have to know a little bit more about the way these two kiros, these twin ovens, as we call them, how they interact. But in any event, the Gemara comes back and says that my question about smicha is when the pot is completely smacked up against the wall, the exterior wall of the oven, without any airspace separating between the pot and the oven. And that's not true in the case of steak deros, steak heroes, amat imo zuez. Toshma, I'll bring you another proof. The Omer of Safra, Omer of Chia, Kitomov and Islabsa, Sonchin La, Umekaimin Olea, Vindotlimi Menomach Zirin La. What's happening here? You have a Kira and Katma. Ktoma. Ktoma means that he places the Afer on top of the coals. And now Nislabsa. Now, sometimes when you put Afer on top of the coals, then you change the direction of the coals. Instead of heating up, they cool off. But sometimes the Nislabsa means that the fire can reconstruct itself, so to speak, and it'll flare up again. So what do you do in this case, where on the one hand he did the act of ktima, but on the other hand now the fire is alive and well, it's an active flame? So the Mishnah, not the Mishnah, actually it's the statement of Rav Safra, the name of Chia, states that somchin la umekaimim aleha. So let's understand what those words mean, and then we'll get to the next words, which is not limimeno machzirin la. So what you can do is, you can take your pot of food, somchin la, and you can put it on the outside of the kira, umekaimim aleha. Which sounds like you're allowed to put food on the top of this kira. So you can, although you're not allowed to put food, well, we're talking before Shabbos, you're not allowed to put food on top of the coals, because now the coals are active. But since it was once katum, therefore we're going to allow you, instead of requiring you that you do a repeat ktima, and get a whole bunch of ashes again, drop them over the coals. We're going to let you go get away with it, even in this state, but only on top and on the outside. Then it says, "Not limimenu machzirin lo." You're allowed to take the food off the top of the kira or the side of the kira on Shabbos and replace it. Shmamino lismoch nami. So we're going to learn from this that smicha is asur. Why? Because ketama in, lo ketama lo. The only reason we were lenient here in Rav Safra in the case of ketama, and we allowed you to do smicha, is because of the ketama. Because you took the time to scatter the afer on top of the kira, on top of the gecholin. Had you not done so, then apparently it would be also both Al-Gaba and Lismach. So the Gemara asks, Ulitamech, according to your understanding of Rav Safra, is notli mimena diktani, right? It says in the name of Rav Chia that you're allowed to take the food out of the kira. Well, actually, let's say off the top of the kira or off the side of the kira, and then you can take the food and you're okay. Is ketama in, lo ketama lo? This doesn't make any sense, because notlin, which means that you're allowed to take the food or the pot with the food in it and remove it, that should apply in all cases. It doesn't have to be limited to the case of ketama. Now it's interesting, until now we always assumed that notli mimenu machzirin la is like a two-part phrase, you know, it's almost like a hyphenated clause. So you take it off in order to put it back on. But at this point in the Gemara, it seems that the Gemara understands that not limimeno and machzirin lo are two separate clauses. And not limimeno means that you're allowed to take it out of the, wherever it is. You know, if it's in this case, it's on top or it's on the outside exterior wall. And in other cases, it's mamish inside on top of the, inside the kira per se. But what I don't understand is, why does the Gemara raise this objection no matter what? In other words, why does he have to tell me not limimena? What's the chiddush here, not limimena? We never had any restrictions about removing food. So it could be, I'm trying to figure out why there might be a restriction about removing food. Not sure if this might have to, maybe it's a chashash that if we allow him to remove the food, then he'll put it back on. I don't know. Unless it's a muktzish, I don't think it should be a muktzish. Ella, says the Gemara, Tana notli mishum machzirin. What we're going to have to say is that Reb Chia, when he said you're allowed to remove it, that was just a hyphenated phrase that he's allowed to return it, he's allowed to put it back on. And Hachinami, let's take that same structure, that same methodology, and apply it to Tana Somchim Mishum Kaimin. Then when it says in the statement here of Safra that you're allowed to put the pot on the outside, that's only a way of introducing Mekayimin, meaning that he's allowed to keep the food on top of the Kira. But it could be that as far as Somchin is concerned, that would be Mutter in all cases, not you're not limited by Katma. And smicha in general is mutter. So the Gemara doesn't like this. Why? Hachi hashta. Let's analyze this. He says, hasam notlin umachzirin b'chad makom hu. It makes sense to take notlin umachzirin as a catchphrase, as a hyphenated phrase, because they're both referring to the same location. Meaning you're taking it off or out, and you're placing it back exactly where you took it out. So therefore, Notlin is an introduction to Machzirin. But Tana, right, but Elohacha, but here in the case of Somchim, so what are you going to tell me? Somchim chad makamu makaimim chad makamu. You're going to tell me that Somchim is just an introduction to makaimim. Now, makaimim is the case where the food is on top of the kira. And somchin is a case where the food is going to be attached, appended, so to speak, to the side of the kira, on the outside, the exterior wall. It doesn't make sense to assume that when it says in Rav Safra, somchim, it means somchim mishum mekaimim. My havi Allah, what's the final halacha as far as smicha is concerned? Toshma, let's quote the following brisa: Kira shi sikua begefes ubi eitzim. Right, this is the real coals called gefes vi eitzim, you know, made of wood. Is somchin la? We're allowed to place food on the outside of the kira, even though it's being fueled by wood. By coals, the ain mekaimin, but you're not allowed to put food on top of the kira. Elim kain grufa uktuma. So we're talking about a stove that's not gorefa katum, and the fuel is gefes and eitzim. And here, even according to chachamim of Chananya, who will not allow you to place the pot inside the oven, because there are live coals over there, we're talking Erev Shabbos, but nevertheless they will permit you to take a pot of food and smack it up against the outside of the oven. Clearly then, smicha is mutter. Then the Braisa continues, it says, Gecholim she'omemu, if the coals inside this oven started dying down, or if he sprinkles on top of the coals the ores of pishtin daka, so we're talking about pishtan is flax, and Neoris is the covering of the flax in its natural state, which means that before you beat the flax to remove the chaff that covers the kernel, so that's called natural pishtan. After you beat it, then you end up with a separation between the pishtan itself, which is ready to be made into threads, and the Neoris, which is the outside covering over the flax kernels, and you take those chaffs and you sprinkle them on top of the coals, harehi kiktuma, and that is the same law as efer, right? Normally kiktuma means you took efer, you took ashes. Here you can take chaff of flax instead of ashes, but in any event, the brisa is outspoken about the fact that you're allowed to do smicha on the outside of the kira, in a case of a kira that's not garif and not katu. But on top of it, if you were to place food or a pot on top of the kira, that would be prohibited. So we have now a major kula called smicha, and when I say a major kula, this is very important halacha l'maisa, because a lot of times what we do is we smack up tavshil, a pot of food, against a hot surface. Like, for example, you could have a blech that has a certain thickness to it, and we're going to be much more makil if you put even water on the side of the blech. And that all has to do with this concept, this halacha of smicha. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Hoshea, K'tama v'huvara. What happens if he sprinkles the ashes on top of the coals, and now the fire starts being reactive again, it starts flaring up? Is mashin olel chamin? You're allowed to be mekil on this kira in terms of hot water. And we've already discussed in Beis Shammai in our Mishnah that we're more mekil in terms of water than we are in terms of tavshil, of foodstuff. Is mashin alechamin shehuchmu? You already have hot water, boiling hot water, and now you want to keep it on top of the coals inside your oven. And we're going to allow you to do so because it was k'tama. But again, it has to be hukmu called sarkan, which, if I understand correctly, means yad soledes bo. The tavshil should be shul called sarko. We're also going to allow you shehi on Erev Shabbos in a fully cooked pot of food. It was fully cooked. And we're going to say that although if it's only partially cooked, you're not allowed to leave it on a grufa and a ketuma, and not even on a ketuma shehuvara, but if it's fully cooked, we're going to allow you to leave it on a ketuma shehuvara. You know, this ketuma shehuvara sugya, we're about to turn to Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. This reminds me very much of Gavra and Chefta. You know, it's like a kind of a brisker chiluk. Because if you look at the Chefta of the Kira, it's an Eino Garf Eino Katu. Your Ktima is ancient history. It's Huvara. You know, with all due respect to your ashes, ashes, we all fall down. You know, all the ashes fell down. So what good are your ashes? You basically cleaned up all the ashes. But if you look at the Gavra did an action of Ketima. I have to admit that action no longer exists. You know, it's gone. Gone with the wind. But on the other hand, you did a Maisa. And that Maisa is itself a little bit of a heker. You know, to remind you that you want these coals to be covered. You actually acted that out by covering the coals. You've made already an active declaration that you don't want to have anything to do with these coals. So although we don't accept Chananya, and in a garaf katu, and in an eno garaf eno katu, we're not going to allow you to leave food on the fire. But here we're going to combine A plus B. A is that you did a Maisa Ketima, and B, that your food is fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, then we go back to the Chachamim of Chananya, and there's no Heter Shehiya on an Eino Garf Eino Kot. And that's true even in a case of food that's cooked, which is called here, in the language of the Braisa, Tavshil Shebishlo called Sarka. So Gemara says, Shmamino, we see clearly the concept of Mitztamek V'yofala. Now what does that mean? there are two stages beyond Kolt Sarko, and that's going to break up Bishul into four stages. So the first stage is called Kemaychel Ben Josoi, which is either one third or one half of its Bishul. Then we get to the next stage, which is called Nisbashel Kolt Sarko. After that, we have a stage called Mitztamek V'yofelo. And the last stage is Mitztamek V'ralo. So Mitztamek V'yofelo is beyond Nisbashel Kolt Sarko. This brisa that we're learning here is Machmir, in the case of Huvara, in Nisbashel Kolt Sarko. Why? Because, what do I mean it's Machmir? It's going to require Nisbashel Kolt Sarko. One second. Right, that if not for the fact that he did the Ketima, this Bashal Kol Tzarko would not be allowed in an Eino Garif Eino Kot. Okay, fine. Now he did Ketima. And we're going to allow him, in this case, this Bashal Kol Tzarko. And I think the implication would be that if it would be beyond this Bashal Kol Tzarko, then it would have been mutter even if there was no Ketima. So again, we're only allowing, in the case of Katma, of Ketama, this Bashal Kol Tzarko, because of the combination of two factors. A, it was Katma, and B, it's the special called Tzarko. If one of those two factors would be missing, then it would be awesome. One second. No. I know, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Let me just see. If it was not Katma. Oh, excellent. If it was not Katma, then Nisbashel Kol Tzarko would be awesome. Why? So the Gemara says, because Nisbashel Kol Tzarko is still improving the Tavshil. Meaning it's fully edible, but it's not fully cooked. That sounds like a contradiction in terms, right? But what I mean to say is, let me give you an example of cholent. If this sits well with you, I don't know if you gentlemen eat cholent, but if you do, then you find that, again, I'm not a connoisseur, but for most people at least, the longer it cooks, the better. And that's a little bit strange, because when you cook something too long, it starts shriveling up and it loses in its volume. But in certain cases, it gains in its taste. You enhance the taste. Now you have a balance here. On the one hand, you enhance the taste. On the other hand, you limit its volume. So how does the halacha of Bishul kick in over here? And apparently, based on this price, so we can conclude that once it's at the stage of mitztamek and the volume is now shriveling, that's already not considered bishul, even though it's yafala, which means even though ultimately it enhances the taste of the food, but it's mitztamek. So that if we're that stage beyond this bashal called Tzarko, which is called Mitztamek, then everything would be mutter. The reason why it's only mutter in the case of Ketama where you have both factors of Ketama and this Bashal called Sarko, is because once it goes beyond Mitztamik, once it goes beyond this Bashal called Sarko, and it's Mitztamik, then it's Mut. Even if he didn't do the act of Ketima, there was no Maisa Gavra of Ketima, which means it's a classic Eino Garf Eino Katum. So an Eino Garf Eino Katum is Asur in this Bashel called Sarko. Again, we're in the Chachamim of Chananya, and we'll only be Matir in this Bashel called Sarko if we have an additional element here of Ketama, that he did the act of Ketima. However, if it's beyond this Bashel called Sarko, which is called Mitztamek, and it starts, you know, reducing its volume, then it would be mutter even in an Eino Garf Eino Katum. So you'll ask me, what's the Chiddush? You know, we have a principle in Shabbos called Mekalkel Potur. If it's Mitztamek, then you can't call that Bishul. So what are you worried about? That it might poke the flames? Even if he pokes the flames, he's only ruining his tafshil. Besides which, I doubt if he would do this. The answer is, Mitztamek v'yofelo. That paradoxically, despite the fact that it is Mitztamek, it's still, for the connoisseurs, for the expert cooks who go to, you know, chef school, it's still a positive bishul. It's an ongoing bishul even after Mitztamek. So even if the food is in a state where it's shriveling up, but nevertheless it's improving, and therefore you might say, well, that's considered an extension of bishul, it would be muta. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, shiny hacha diktama. In other words, the reason why we're allowing nisbashel called sarko in this case, where it's basically an eno katum, is because ktama, he made that attempt and he did the maisa ktima, and that itself is a factor lakula. So you might say that what? So what was Gemara holding right now? That maybe if it's Yofelo, that's considered Bishul. Here we were Mekil. The answer is because it was Ketama. Had it not been Ketama, maybe we would have been Machbir, even in the case of Yofelo. So in other words, at this point, the Gemara is not accepting our distinction that we worked so hard to distinguish between Nisbashel called Sarko and Yofelo, where the Mitztamkus is not detrimental, but rather it is beneficial. The Gemara is not willing to accept that distinction. The Gemara thinks this Bashal called Sarko includes even Mitztamek v'yofelo, and it's mutter. But why is it mutter? Because you have another factor that plays into the equation, and that's Ketama. So the Gemara says, Ihachi maila memra. So you're telling me that it was Ketama, and that's why we make it, so then it's a garf a katum. So Gemara says, nein. The chiddush is that huvra, it's rechlei, that even though the act of ketima is completely gone, it's history, the fire has reactivated itself. Ma'u detema came into huvra, hadrolei lemilsa kamai. So we go back to its original state, and it's an eno garuf, kamash malan. That's where Rav Oshia wants to be mechadish to us, that no, we're still going to use the ketama as a factor lekula, and if we add to that it's a tavshil that's the special called sarko, then it's mutter. And now the Gemara is saying that nispashel called sarko and mitztamek v'yofelo is all one entity, and the chiddush of this Rav Oshia is that you would have thought that the ketima is history and it's gone, and therefore you're talking about an eno garf eno katum. Hamashma, no, it's still considered to some extent a garf a katum, and that's going to permit us to put into this kira, onto this kira, a nisbashel called Sarko situation. Omar Rabba Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan K'toma V'huvara Mashin Olel Chamin Shehuchmu called Sarko V'tavshel Shebishlan called Sarko. So far, Rabba is just repeating what Rav Hoshea said word for word, but then he adds four words. The Afilu Gecholim Shel Rosem. And we spoke about different ways and methods of fueling an oven. We spoke about Eitzim in the Mishnah. And we spoke about what's called Gefes. And now we have something called Rosem. Rosem. So Rosem is a kind of a wood that creates coals that are especially hot. We don't know exactly which wood he took that's on such a superior level that it's called Rosem, but whatever that wood is, when you burn it, it creates a coal that is very difficult to extinguish. It's a very long-lasting, durable coal. You know, you want to buy coals. Next time you go buy coals for your campfire, make sure it says on the outside, not only Hekshar of the Vadats, but it also says it's Rosem. That you make sure it says it on the outside label. Because those are the best coals that you want to pay for. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is telling me a Chiddush, that even though this Rosem kind of fuel is a coal that tends to flare up even after you put ashes on it, nevertheless you made it into a garuf v'katum, such that now if it flares up, you can allow yourself the leniency of placing onto this kira a tavshel shenisbashel called sarko. And once again, the Gemara goes through the same Shakla V'tari that we had before. Shma Mino, should we derive from this that Mitztamek V'yofalo is Mutter? That even in a case of an Eino Garuf, Eino Kotum, you'd be allowed to leave on the fire Mitztamek V'yofalo, which includes even, this Vashel called Sarko, which includes even Yofalo, that even though it's fully cooked, but the cooking process is still beneficial. And Gemara answers, no. Let's reject it. Shani Hocha de Ktoma. The reason why we're making here in Tavshil Shinis Bashil called Tzarko, even if it's Mitzamek V'yofel, is because he already had a Maisa Ketima. Iyachi Maile Memra. So once again, what's the Chiddush in a case where it's fully cooked? Why would we think otherwise? The Gemara answers, Huvara Itzrichle, because even though he did a Ketima, but now the coals reactivated themselves, they started flaring up again. And the Gemara asks, Hainu Hach? And if that be the case, then Rabbi Yochanan is just repeating what we had in Rav Oshea. And the Gemara answers, Gecholim Shel Rosem Itzrichle. You know, even if he uses coals which are made of Rosem wood, and we can already predict, you know, from the get-go that you're going to have a flared-up situation, and the Afer and the Ketumah is not going to be meaningful. Nevertheless, it's a Maisa Ketima, and it allows us to leave on top of this Kira a Tavshil Shinis Bashil called Sarko. So let's just make a note of where we got up to here. We're on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. We're up to Omer Av Sheshes, which is about, let we say, about 12 lines down from the top of the page.